Morning to all. As always, I am grateful to share with you another portion of the Word of God. We are in the midst of our study dealing with shining as lights in the midst of the world that we are a part of, as we just sang in this song. And over the course of this particular month, we have been engaged in a short study dealing with the home, godly families. We've talked about the importance of godly families. And then last week, we devoted a little bit of time talking about the husband-wife relationship. And this morning, we're going to talk about the parent-child relationship. And there's a lot of things to be said about this. And obviously, we're not going to cover everything that is associated with what God's Word says about these particular responsibilities. But we're going to just engage in a little bit of a brief summary of some of the things that are associated with this particular relationship and how important it is as we strive to be examples in the society that is around us. One of the points that we've noted in dealing with the family is how the home is the foundational unit of society. As the home goes, so goes the church. As the home goes, so goes government. As the home goes, so goes society and the community. That's why it's important that we strive to pattern our homes after the pattern that God has given us. Concerning parenting, we find that this is an awesome responsibility that we have. Over in Psalm 127 and beginning in verse number 3, the psalmist there tells us where he says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." There are many things that we could say about this particular text, but what I want us to observe here at the very beginning is the point is make, is they're a heritage from the Lord. In reality, what Solomon is saying, who is attributed with writing this, is children are a blessing, and they ought to be viewed as a blessing from God. And the one who is blessed with the opportunity to have many children ought to see that as something that is wonderful, as it will continue the heritage of their particular families, and also have that impact upon society. One of the things that we learned very early on in the Bible, as we read about God joining Adam and Eve together, and in that we find the first family or the first home unit, is we find one of the purposes that is associated with marriage is to produce children. It is to bring children into the world. Over in Genesis chapter 1, and this talks about after man was created in the image of God, one of the instructions that is given to them is be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's how God intends for the human race to continue. And should a couple that joins themselves together in marriage choose to bring children into this world, they need to realize what an awesome responsibility that is. So this morning, I'm going to remind us about some things associated with parenting, and then spend a little time talking about children and their responsibilities. Dealing with parenting, of course, this is another one of those areas, as we've noted in every one of these lessons, where our society has been adversely affected. We find I am fully convinced that we have an incredible breakdown in society because of failures in the home. Sometimes it's dealing with failures between husbands and wives, but I find major problems associated with parenting. And we have so many attitudes today where parents don't care about what God says in the way that children are to be raised. We have single parent homes with no desire for a spouse. You know, I realize that there are times where it is beyond their control and they become a single parent. That happens at times. But for many, that's what they want. They don't want a spouse to help them. And I'm going to tell you right now, one of the things that we have learned, and it should not be a surprise, is children need a mom and children need a dad. They need both to raise them. They both have responsibilities. But yet our society doesn't get that. And that, of course, factors into the idea of same-sex couples, same-sex marriage, where obviously they do not have the ability to have children without help from outside of that relationship. But even in that, in a same-sex marriage, if they choose to bring children into that, whether it be through adoption or some other means, those children are confused. They're confused about what their role and their responsibility is where society is concerned. In addition to that, we read far too much about abuse and neglect where children are concerned, where parents are failing to properly take care of their children, not only physically, but sadly, there's spiritual neglect in many instances. In addition to that, we have the tolerance of ungodly behavior. One of the things that we see a great deal of today, and it's associated, I believe, more so in prosperous societies, is the idea of letting children have whatever they want and letting children get away with whatever they want to do. There's breakdowns in the areas of discipline. There's materialism and worldliness that is all over the place, and they get everything that they want, and they're learning worldly attitudes. And don't you dare tell me that what I'm doing is wrong. Don't you dare challenge the things that I'm allowing my children to do, or what I'm allowing my children to wear, or where I'm allowing my children to go. And you can go on. And so we find that in many different instances. And then there's just this general lack of respect and accountability for a number of different reasons. There's a breakdown in discipline where children are concerned in many instances. All of these things are problems when you study what God's Word says about parenting. And we could spend a whole lot more time dealing with every one of these issues and the problems that they actually cause. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you look at the problems in our society, society desperately needs to see parents who fear God and are desire to follow God's pattern in rearing their children. You see, as parents, we have the greatest opportunity to have impact on this person that we have brought into the world. We are more likely to have the greatest impact than anybody else. That's not to say that others will not influence them. And sadly, one of the problems is parents allow others to have a greater influence than they have on them themselves in many instances. So we need to understand this awesome responsibility. We have the greatest impact upon the direction that a child is going to go. That's why we read over in Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, one thing we need to understand there is this is the rule. And Solomon is speaking by observation, and I'm going to tell you right now that this is the rule that takes place. And when I say that, I realize that there are exceptions. You know, there are some times that you as a parent may do everything that you can and may do the absolute best that you can, and in spite of that, your child goes in a different direction. And let me say why I say he goes in a different direction. You may be the worst parent in the world, and in spite of that, your child turns out good because he makes up his mind or she makes up her mind that they're going to follow God. But you may do everything you can, and occasionally a child will just be rebellious and reject God because he has to make decisions for himself. But that's the exception and not the rule. And the thing to understand about that is quite often when children fall away from God, and I'm going to tell you right now, the statistics are absolutely staggering to consider children when they leave home, how many fall away and how many leave the Lord's church. Some of them return later, but many do not. And like I said, the numbers are staggering in the high percentages of those who fall away. And you cannot help but wonder, based upon what God's Word says, whether or not it has something to do with we as parents not doing everything that we ought to do, not following God's instructions in the raising of our children. So we need to understand that we need to look at ourselves and see if we've done what we should do. And we need to seriously consider that, that we have an impact on them. You know, over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, Titus chapter 1 and verse number 6, a qualification for elders in a congregation. He has to rule his house well. He has believing children. Children that are not rebellious and accused of rebellion and that type of behavior. They submit to their parents. And the point that is made over in 1 Timothy 3 is if you can't control your family, how are you going to control the Lord's body? So it emphasizes the importance of parenting. The same thing is said over there in 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 12 concerning deacons. They have to have their children who are in subjection to them. Their children that are obedient and doing what they're supposed to be doing. So leadership in the Lord's church is demonstrated by leadership within the home. So understand how important the home is from that standpoint. It's important to God that we understand these things, and it ought to be important to us. Why? Because how we parent is going to determine what the church is going to be in the next generation. What our society is going to be, what our government is going to be. And I know I emphasize that over and over because I want us to remember that over and over. So, godly parenting. What does it involve? Let's briefly talk about the responsibilities of fathers and mothers. We will begin with fathers. And we find concerning the responsibility that fathers are given is they are told first and foremost that they are to be the head of the house. Now, last week when we talked about husbands and wives, we talked about how wives were to be in subjection to their husbands, and how husbands were to be the head of the wife. And the point is he's the head of the entire house. He's the head of the family. He has the responsibilities where that is concerned. Again, if you go over to 1 Timothy 3 and talking about elders, one who rules well his house. He is in charge of his home, and he demonstrates his leadership in that responsibility. And he needs to understand that. Now, that's not to say that the mother does not have any authority in the family. I'll tell you right now, she does. And she can fail just as much as he can when it comes to rearing the children where authority is concerned. But the husband, he needs to realize it's on him. It's the role that God has given him to be the head of the house. And that includes his children. So he cannot take that lightly. I'm so fearful that one of the breakdowns in the home is because of fathers who refuse to step up and be the leaders of their homes. In addition to being a leader in the home, he also has a responsibility to provide for his family. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse number 8, and we've touched on this in other lessons dealing with this, we read there, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The man is responsible with providing for the family. And you can see that from the very beginning that the man was the one that was called upon to work. He has the responsibility to see to it that his family is provided for. Adam, even if you want to, in the curse of Genesis chapter 3, in the sweat of your brow, you will do the job. You will work. So that is his responsibility to ensure that he is providing for his family in everything that he does. And in addition to that, he has a responsibility to instruct his children. And this is something else that is important. Turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse number 4, where fathers are told, do not provoke your children to wrath, but rather bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You are to train and admonish your children. You are responsible as fathers to see to it that your children are trained. Over in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 21, we find what is described by some as a parallel passage to that, where it talks about how fathers do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. So we find the responsibilities of father both positive and negative. He has the responsibility to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And that word training that is used there, it's more than merely teaching, even though it involves that. You know, somebody might ask the question, how is a father to instruct his children? How is he to bring them up in the training? Well, number one, he does it in word. And you may recall over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is where Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, and he gives them he gives the parents responsibility there to make sure that their children know his law. And the way that it's done, Deuteronomy 6 and beginning in verse number 6, where he makes the point there, he says, these words which I command you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Well, basically the point that is being made there is you teach your children what God wants. You teach your children the law of God. If you want them to reverence God, if you want them to follow God, you have to do it. You have a responsibility to do that. How many think that the church is going to teach their children everything they need to learn and they don't do anything about it at home? Friends, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. The parents have the primary responsibility. The church can help in that, and one of the things we do is teach. Obviously, we have authority to do that. We need to do that. But it is primarily the responsibility of parents. And what's interesting about that passage in Deuteronomy 6, he makes the point that not only do you instruct them in the law, but you know what? It's all over the place. You talk about it when you're walking down the street or when it's there when you go to bed and when you rise up. He describes it as frontlets between your eyes. And I know the Pharisees took that literal, but they wasn't talking about putting a box on top of your head and dropping scripture in it. It was talking about it's something that's constantly before you. One of the things that's popular today, and you can go to various stores, you can find all these different well-prepared picture frames or frames that have scriptures on it. And we go into some homes, some of the homes of these family, of some of the members of this congregation, you'll find scriptures all over the house. That's a good thing. You know, that's the idea of writing it on your doorposts and on your walls. It's there. And it's done in a very pleasant way where, you know, it looks good. But it reminds people that, you know, one of the scriptures, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a great thing to have in a prominent place in your house that your children, every time they walk in the door, anybody walks in, they see, that's what we're going to do. Children need to see that. That's how fathers instruct. They also instruct by being a proper example. You know, I'm reminded of 2 Timothy 1:5, and I know this is talking about Lois and Eunice, so it's talking about Timothy's mother. But he makes the point, I remember the faith that was in your mother Lois and in your grandmother Eunice, and is in you also. Example. Well, you know what? If a mother's to be an example, and we'll get into that, you think a father needs to be an example as well? You think he needs to be a proper example to his children? He needs to teach his children what they are supposed to be? He needs to show his children. I'm going to tell you what. You hear me clearly on this. All of us need to remind ourselves of this. Children are going to learn what a husband is supposed to act like and what a father is supposed to act like by watching daddy. By watching the way daddy treats his wife. By watching the way that daddy treats them. By watching the way that they treat the external family. Example is everything. That's the whole purpose of our study throughout this year. We instruct by example. You instruct through application. And what that means is, you make them do things. You show them what to do and you make them do it. You teach them. Get them their own Bible. Make sure they read the Bible for themselves would be an example of application. Make sure they're doing something. Make sure that they're learning early to return to God a portion of that which they've been blessed with, so that it just becomes a habit. That the first thing that I think about when I receive something, I'm going to give God part of it. And you just examples like that. You also learn through repetition. And I think that's the point of Deuteronomy 6:6-9. That's the point of those pictures that are on the wall with scriptures on them. Every time you walk in, you see that. And how long is it going to be before you know what you know what that scripture says by heart? And that's the good thing about repetition. You know, we read about that both Paul in the book of Philippians and Peter, 2 Peter 1:12-15. I'm writing these things to remind you, so that you'll have a remembrance of things I've said before. We need reminders. We need repetition. People learn by having things repeated over and over and over. And that's how you get better at whatever it is that you're doing. So fathers need to instruct their children. And the negative side of that, when you go back to the Ephesians 6 and verse 4, Colossians 3 and 21, it says, lest they be discouraged, or lest you provoke them to anger. And the point of that text is, you know, don't lead in such a way that your children are confused because of inconsistency. You know, they don't know whether to believe you when you tell them to do something or not, because discipline is not practiced consistently. Or they're frustrated because of the way that they're treated or mistreated, because of the way that they're neglected, because they're treated hatefully and harshly. Or maybe they observe hypocritical behavior. You tell them to do one thing and you do something different. Children see that. And you hear the expression that people learn more by what they see than what they hear, what you say, and that's absolutely true. So all of these things, when I see this idea of leading them up to the idea where they become frustrated and you're provoking them to wrath and rebellion and anger, it has to do with the way that they watch you and the way that you treat them. Are you treating them as a loving father should? And so that, you find, is in their responsibility. And it involves discipline. And you can go over to Hebrews chapter 12, and that's a passage where the Hebrew writer is talking about the discipline of God, the chastening of the Lord. And he gives us the illustration there that he chastened you because he loves you, the way that a father chastens, the way that a father disciplines because he loves. And how often did Solomon talk about that in the book of Proverbs? And it says, he basically says he chastens you because he loves you. The father chastens the children. It's done out of love. A child, when a father says, this will hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, the child says, yeah, right. But I promise you, one day when you become a parent, you'll know exactly what that means when it's done properly. It's done because it's what's necessary, and it's a part of the responsibility that parents have. Fathers need to be patient. They need to be sacrificial. And they need to realize that raising their children is a hard task. You know, it's not easy to do. It's going to require you to sacrifice. It's going to require you to give up some selfish pursuits for the purpose of strengthening the home. Fathers need to love their families. And again, I would take you back to Hebrews chapter 12 that talks about the chastening. And love is associated with that chastening. And that's why a father punishes his children. And I want you to understand, the father has the primary role when it comes to punishing. Yes, he can delegate authority to the mother, and the mother is going to do that. But the father has the primary responsibility to make sure that they're disciplined according to God's word. He also loves his children, and you have a great example of that in the prodigal son. You remember how the prodigal left home, and as he decides to return home, where is his father? His father's there waiting for him. And his father sees him afar off, and he goes and he embraces him, and he rejoices that his son has returned home. That shows a father's love. And I'm convinced in that parable that father is supposed to represent God and how God loves his children. And when they rebel against him, he waits for them to come home. And when they do, He rejoices. We see the love of a Father in Scripture, and that's something that is called upon. And I'm going to tell you right now, contrary to what society may say and what some may say, every child needs a daddy. Don't misunderstand me on that. It's clear. They need a father. That's why God tells you to wait till you're married to have children. Enough said about that. But what about mothers? What responsibility do mothers have? I want you to know that her role is equally important, and it's just as much needed as that of a father. And one of the interesting things is if you engage in a study of mothers in Scriptures, you find the compassion that they have, and you find the nurturing that is involved as they raise their children. And they have very great impact on the direction that children go, both for good and bad. I can show you in Scripture good mothers that love their children and raise them up to be godly. And I can show you in Scripture ungodly mothers who raise their children to be ungodly and rebellious. The Bible gives examples of both. You could think of Jochebed. That's an interesting one over there in Exodus chapter 2. That's the mother of Moses. And what's interesting about that is, you remember in Exodus chapter 2 how Pharaoh had commanded that all the males be killed. And Moses, of course, was hidden by his parents and then put in a basket in the river. And he's discovered by Pharaoh's daughter. And what is interesting is his sister Miriam, when Moses is found, asks Pharaoh's daughter, "Do you want me to go find a maiden for to watch her?" And the answer was yes. And who does she go and get? She gets her mother. His mother. Moses' mother, Jochebed. So Jochebed had a chance to raise Moses in Pharaoh's ungodly house, antagonistic house, and still teach him about God so that he knew who God was. That's just one example of many. And of course, you've got Lois and Eunice in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse number 5. And again, Paul commends Timothy for the genuine faith that was in them that they instilled in their son. You know, the stay-at-home mom is likely to have more interaction with the children. And she has authority as she does that. Her influence cannot be described enough. How important it is and how great it is. She has to love her children. Now, that seems very natural. You know, it does seem. As a matter of fact, more than once, Paul uses the illustration of a nursing mother caring for her child. That's 1 Thessalonians 2:7 there. I was gentle with you as a nursing mother. Jesus, and as he weeps over Jerusalem at the end of Matthew 23, I'd like to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks. You know, you got that idea of nurturing, and that comes natural with a mother. It sometimes can be more difficult with fathers, challenging. It doesn't have to be. But it's a natural thing with mothers. So you might wonder, why is it that Scripture tells older women to teach younger women, number one, Titus 2:4, love your husbands, and number two, to love your children? Why would they be told that they needed that? Well, the sad reality is not all mothers love their children. There are some who have children for selfish reasons and are selfish in the way that they deal with their children. They come first. I'm talking about the selfish mother comes before her children. She's unwilling to sacrifice for them. Women abuse children like men do. And again, I'm not saying that this is the typical thing, but there are unloving mothers out there. You know, when you think of somebody who goes and murders a baby because she's been irresponsible and she doesn't want to have that baby, we call it abortion. That's called in the Bible as unloving. or without natural affection. And you actually have, that 2 Timothy 3:3, which is this list of selfishness among the things that are said there. New King James uses the word unloving. I think King James uses the expression without natural affection. That's talking about the love of a mother. That's natural. And it's missing. That's a sad thing. So women are told to love the children. We just read, Tony read in Romans 1, verse 31. That word unloving is used there. It's the same word. And it's the same type of an idea. Well, mothers can fail to love their children by being overly permissive, not disciplining them when they need it. Just like fathers fail to discipline because it's an unpleasant thing to do. But it comes with consequences later on. In addition to this, the mother has a responsibility to manage the house. That's emphasized in 1 Timothy 5 and in verse 14, where Paul is dealing with the church as it takes care of the needy and the responsibilities they have. And among the things that are said about younger widows, rather than the church having to take care of them, it says in verse 14, "I desire that the younger women marry, widows marry, bear children, manage the house. Give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Manage your house. Be a homemaker is the way that it's described in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 or Titus chapter 2 and in verse 5. Be homemakers. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 15, this is an interesting passage where Paul is dealing with submission, you know, as far as in the Lord's church and things associated with that. And how she is to be submissive. And then he makes this interesting statement there where he says, "She will be saved in childbearing." You ever thought about that? Now, you think that that actually means that in order for a woman to be saved, she has to have children? But what about the barren? You know, what about a woman who is not married and chooses to remain single? Is that a sin? No, I think I would read like 1 Corinthians chapter 7 before I said that was a sin. You know, Paul said it was actually expedient in that time. So it's not wrong for a woman to not have children, but I think the point is, when he says that she will be saved in childbearing, the point that is being made there is she's fulfilling her responsibilities. If you bring children into this world, you have a responsibility to bear them up, to bring them up, to raise them, fulfilling your role according to God's instructions. Mothers help in the teaching. Again, 2 Timothy 1:5. Lois and Eunice taught Timothy. In Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse number 8, Solomon says here, "I want you to obey the law of your mother. You follow the instructions that your mother gives you." And similarly in chapter 29 in Proverbs 29 and verse 15, "A child kept to himself brings shame to his mother." And the implication is there, mothers, don't let your child be kept to them. And what that means is, you know, don't leave them to fend for themselves. You got a responsibility to guide them, direct them. Fulfill yourselves of that responsibility. So in putting this together, fathers and mothers seek to raise godly children who will put the Lord first and they will faithfully serve Him even after they leave home. I want to say right now, that ought to mean more. That ought to mean more to a parent than anything else. Parents need to remember that if you bring a child into this world, you're not just bringing a physical human being to exist on this earth. You're bringing a soul that is going to spend eternity somewhere. And you have the greatest impact, the greatest determination on where that is going to be. So, obviously, parents have an awesome responsibility. Well, what about children? Let's just take a few minutes and remind ourselves about children, and maybe we will address this in greater detail at another time. But in society, there's a great need for children to conduct themselves properly toward their parents. And I'm going to tell you right now, what I see around is troubling. I see parents that are children that are disrespectful and rebellious toward their parents. I see children that do not honor their parents the way that they ought to. They're ungrateful for what they have received, and it's never enough, and they want more. And that's not what God's Word teaches. Children's responsibility can be summed up in two descriptions. Number one, children are told, obey your parents. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse number 1, we find that that's the statement that's made there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In Colossians 3 and in verse 20, obey your parents in all things. And again, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, where you find that list of selfishness, talks about unloving, and it also talks about those who are disobedient to their parents. That's the attitude of selfishness. So over and over, it's emphasized, obey your parents. Young people, children need to understand your parents know what they're talking about. Now, are they perfect? No. Do they make mistakes? Absolutely. But when they tell you to obey, there's a reason for it. And you need to do what they tell you to do, period. They're watching out for your soul. So you obey them. Even Jesus gives an example of that in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 51, where after he returned from Jerusalem when he was 12, it said that he was subject to his parents. He obeyed them. Now the other requirement or the other responsibility that describes children is to honor your father and your mother. And we continue again in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, where we read there, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, Paul says some very powerful things about honoring parents. He says it's the first commandment with promise. And the point is it's going to make your life better. And quite honestly, when you honor your parents, it's going to set you up in a situation where you have a better opportunity to succeed spiritually as well as in other ways in your life. It comes with many other things associated with that. If you go back to the original statement in Exodus chapter 20, where basically it's told if you want long life, you honor your father and your mother. Now, what does it mean to honor? It means that you do what you're supposed to do. It involves obedience and so on. But it means that you do it not just because you have to, but because there's a respect for your parents. The idea of honoring your parents is you give them the respect they deserve as you conduct yourselves. One might ask, how can I honor my parents? Well, number one, you obey them. You do what they tell you to do. Number two, you listen to them. Again, I'm going to tell you right now, Mommy and Daddy have been around a few more years. They typically know what they're talking about. And even when they tell you to do something and you say, why? And they say, because I said so. You know, there's a reason for that. You may not understand why right now, but there's a reason behind it. And that's why you do what they tell you to do. And you listen to what they tell you to do. They've been around a little bit longer. Probably 99% of the time, when a parent says, you stay away from that child, the parent knows what they're talking about. And they see something that you don't see. That's just one example of that. When parents don't want you to date a certain child as you get a little bit older, or another person, they typically see something there. And there's a problem. And that's why they want you to find somebody else. But just understand that. Children honor their parents by behaving and respecting them even when they are not around. How often do children badmouth their parents when they're not around? And they're disrespectful to them when they're out in public. And you can see children that just mouth off and they just show that there's no respect there. There's no honor for their parents for who they are. You honor by behaving and respecting them, even when they are not around. You honor them by reflecting or by realizing that your conduct is a reflection upon your parents. It has a bearing on them. And that goes back to the illustration that I've used many times, from this pulpit. You know, when you're out with your friends and they want to do something that's wrong, you can have one or two responses. You can say, I can't do that because if my parents find out, they'll kill me. You know, that's fear. But what's the other response? I can't do that because if they find out, it'll kill them. It'll tear them up to realize that I was willing to do this in spite of what they've taught me. That's the honor. That's the honoring of parents. And that's what children are called upon to do. And there's something else to be said about how later in life, children care for the parents. When that is needed, when the parents reach the point where they cannot care for themselves. A whole nother concern in our society. So that's what we find in God's Word with the responsibilities of children in submitting and obeying their parents and honoring their parents. Now as a final thought as we deal with the idea of children and wrap this lesson up, much of the conduct of children is a reflection of the way that they are raised. In other words, parents have the responsibility to raise the children properly. And more often than not, if parents are doing what they're supposed to do, the children are going to be more willing to do what they're supposed to do. When parents love their children the way that they ought to, the children love their parents back the way that they ought to. And it's amazing how much a child is willing to sacrifice when they know that their parents are doing everything they can for them that they can. So here we find this brief lesson dealing with parents and children and the responsibilities we have in the home. And I'm going to tell you, this is so awesome. It's such an awesome responsibility because the future of our society depends on it. What is the church going to be like for the next generation? What is our society going to be like? What is our society like because of families? We seriously need to think about that. And we need to ask ourselves, am I fulfilling my role as God would have me in the family that I have been blessed to be a part of? Think about that, and the lesson is yours. Let your light shine, even in this. Open your songbook now to number 631. I heard the voice of Jesus say, in just a moment, we're going to offer an invitation. Maybe there is somebody here who is in need of responding to that invitation. You know, one of the ways that we're described in Scriptures as Christians is as a family, and God is our Father. How have we been treating our Heavenly Father? Have we been obeying Him and have we been honoring Him? Are you a part of His family? If not, why not become a part of that very family today by becoming a child of God, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism? And if you're a child of God and you've dishonored Him by your conduct, repent of whatever sins you have in your life, turn your life around, confessing your sins to Him in prayer. And if there's some way that we can pray with you or for you, we stand ready. Our Lord has told us to come to Him. You have an opportunity, if that is your need, right now as we stand.